This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. In the ninth year of the Hijrah, after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم returned from the conquest of Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to set off yet again on another journey. And that was for the Battle of Tabuk. And so this battle was like, it was not like any other in terms of its difficulty. And so it was in the extreme heat of the summer, and it required a very long journey in a waterless desert, and it meant that the Muslims would face off against a very massive army, one of the superpowers of the world, the Roman Empire. And on top of that, it was close to the harvest season, when the people of Medina, who were people of agriculture, it was time very soon to harvest their crops. And so it was very difficult, and it was a huge test. It was a huge test to the community of the believers in Medina. And so those who remained behind, they remained behind because they were hypocrites. They were munafiqun. And it was a sign, if you remained behind in that battle, it was a sign that you were one of them. However, it so happened that a few of the believers, they failed this test and they ended up staying behind. One of them was Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And so he himself mentions his story and what took place. And so he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims, they started to prepare for that journey. He says that I too went out to prepare, but I returned home on that day without getting anything done. So I would tell myself, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm young, I have wealth, I have a horse, I'm well equipped. It won't take me long to prepare myself for that journey. So I continue to postpone getting ready until everyone was ready to embark. He says, in the morning, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave orders to set out. And so the caravan, they left Medina. And Ka'b ibn Malik, he says, I still had not made my preparations. But I told myself, I'll prepare myself. I have nothing to worry about. I'll get ready today. I'll get ready tomorrow. And then I'll join them. The next day came. He says, I set out again to prepare myself. But I came back home without getting anything ready. And so he says this continued until the Muslims had almost reached the battlefield. And then the campaign had passed. He says, nevertheless, I still intended to leave and to join them. He says, I wish I had, but it was just not written for me. And so Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he continues to narrate his story and the huge test that he had to face when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back and sat with each one of those who remained behind, the majority of them being the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And he narrates his story of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam boycotted him and the rest of the Muslims boycotted him for 50 days until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he had accepted his repentance and the repentance of the other two who were with him. But my dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to talk about one point, one aspect of this story, and what Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, what he went through. And so, what he was living with every day, as we see in his story, was a problem that most of us face, a problem that most of us deal with day in, day out, a problem that Shaytan has noticed as a weak point in us, and he has taken it to his advantage and used it as one of his main weapons to attack us with, to prevent us from doing any good, to prevent us from turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that weapon and that problem and that weakness in us is the problem of procrastination, of delaying, of postponing things for a time that will never come until it is too late. And so how many times have we made the intention and the determination to do something good, but then we tell ourselves, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it later, and we postpone it and we continue to delay it until that opportunity is wasted and it is gone? How many times have we told ourselves that tomorrow I will repent, this sin I will stop it once and for all, and I will turn to Allah in repentance? But not today. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, when Ramadan comes, when I have the ability to go for Hajj. Even Hajj, how many of us, we have the means, we have the money, we have the physical ability. And when it comes time for Hajj, we tell ourselves, no, not this year, next year. When next year comes, we tell ourselves, no, next year. And then we're faced with difficulty. Look at that pandemic and how people had planned to go, but now they are prevented from going. How many times have we intended to do good, but we delay it, we postpone it for no reason? We are physically fit, we are financially able, but we delay it, we postpone it, and procrastination, it sets in. And so because of the danger of procrastination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with the opposite, and that is to hurry, to hasten, to quickly rush to do good, And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hasten, quickly move forward to the forgiveness of your Lord. Don't delay seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasten to do it. Rush to do it. And to a Jannah. Hasten to a Jannah whose width is wider than the heavens and the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the importance of hastening to do a particular good deed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, and spend. Give of your wealth in good causes, in sadaqah. Spend from what we have given to you before a day comes when death comes to one of you and he says, Ya Rabb, delay it for me. Delay this appointed time of death for me so that perhaps I can spend. As-saddaq, so that I could give in sadaqah. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and so that I could be from among the righteous. Now, if me and you had the chance to delay and to postpone one thing, it would be death. If death was something that was in our hands, we would continuously postpone it and delay it forever. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after that, what does He subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never postpone, will never delay the appointed time of death when its time has come. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, all of this shows us the importance of hastening, of rushing forward to do good, to turning to Allah in repentance, and not delaying and not procrastinating. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في السر والنجوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. الأعشى ابن ميمون was an individual who was respected in the pre-Islamic days, in the days of Jahiliyyah. الأعشى ابن ميمون, he was one of the poets at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And so this individual, he would be known for his poetry. And he would enter upon the kings and the rulers, praising them with lines of poetry. And so he decided one day to travel to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept Islam and praise him. And so Quraysh, when they found out, they approached him for fear that if he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embracing Islam and praising him, that Islam would spread because he was someone prominent among the Arabs. And so they went to him and they discouraged him and they said, "Don't you know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he forbids you from your norms and your habits?" He said, "What does he forbid us from?" "He forbids us from zina, from drinking, from gambling." And then they gifted him 100 camels. They said, "Take this, but don't go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So Al-A'sha ibn Maymun, he accepted their gift and he said to himself, "You know what? I'll enjoy this wealth for a year. And then when next year comes, I'll go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'll accept Islam." And so he set off with his prize. And before reaching his hometown, he fell off of his camel and died on the spot. My dear brothers and sisters, what do we learn from this, if not a lesson in the dangers of procrastination and delaying doing good, delaying repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and changing our lives? One of the main reasons for why we procrastinate is that we are attached to our dunya, our lifestyle, the things that we love, that are attached to our hearts of this dunya, and the pleasures of our nafs. And so it becomes difficult to let go. And that's why our heart does not want to remember and to be reminded of that which will come in between us and our desires and our dunya. And what else will come between our nafs and its desires, if not death? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described death as the destroyer of pleasures when he said, "Uzkuru hadim al-ladhat." Remember the destroyer of pleasures. And what he was referring to was nothing but death. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, on top of that, we are busy reminding ourselves of false hopes of living long lives. That I have nothing to worry about. I have a long life ahead of me. And so these false hopes, they delude us. And so we continue to procrastinate and to postpone doing good or abandoning evil and repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until before we know it, our time is up and the angel of death has come to take away our souls. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the very first step to dealing with this problem of procrastination is by reminding ourselves that today is in our hands. Today, I am physically fit. I am financially capable. I have time in my hands. Tomorrow is not in my hands. Tomorrow is not something that is in my hands. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us of this reality when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس, take advantage of five things before another five come and take away those five things. And so he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حياتك قبل موتك, take advantage of your life before your death. وصحتك قبل سقمك, and your good health before a time comes when you'll fall ill and sick. وشبابك قبل هرمك, and your youthful days before your old age. وفراغك قبل شغلك, and your free time before your busy time. وغناك قبل فقرك, and your wealthy days before the days in which you become poor and you don't have any more wealth. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to take advantage of what we have today before a day comes when we are taken, when these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are taken away from us. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, beware of procrastination. Beware of it. For you are present today, not tomorrow. And if you happen to live until tomorrow, then be as you were today. And if you do not live until tomorrow, then at least you will not regret what you did today. And so the nature of our nafs is to take things easy, to relax. And this is one of the main reasons why we procrastinate, why we delay, why we postpone. Because the very nature of our nafs, of our human nature, is that we want to take things easy. We want to relax. We don't want to do that which requires effort, which requires a lot of effort and hard work. And so that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us to seek refuge in these two things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from weakness and from laziness. And so we need to fight against our lazy nafs and remind ourselves that we need to work hard today if we want to relax tomorrow. But if we want to relax today, then we'll have to face a lot of difficulty and a lot of hardship tomorrow. And that's why the people of the hellfire, there was nothing more that they regret on the day of judgment than this problem of procrastination and delaying things for a day that never came. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد المسلمين بسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدبيره تدميرا عليه يا قوي يا متين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.